Morning to you, Robbie.
Yes, good morning, guys.
Now,
we're all in, not isolation, but lockdown.
We're locked.
Where are you, Gerard?
I'm in the studio, and Loz and Clarkie are from their respective castles, my friend.
That's very well put, by the way, Gerard. Very well put. Well, I used to have a castle. Now I merely live in the hills with the rest of the people.
Well, I tell you who are the king of the castle. Melbourne City, Rob. 3-1 victory. How good?
Yeah,
if you're Melbourne City.
How bad? Very... How bad, Loz? Not how good.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I mean, we're Sydney fans. We're from Sydney, aren't we? Of course, I'm neutral because I have to work on it. But you know, bugger that now. I don't work there anymore, so I can be a Sydney FC fan, can't I? But much deserved. Best team all year, no doubt about that. They were the benchmark. All the other coaches said it during the year. They were streaks above everybody else. And, you know, they deserve this double now. They won the Premier's Plate by quite some distance and with quite some ease. And they were terrific against MacArthur. You know, having to leave Melbourne because of the lockdown at the time there, and now the roles were reversed, of course. And it didn't look like they'd host the grand final, but they did, which they deserved to. On the game itself, Melbourne City definitely deserved it. There's no doubt they came out flying in the first 15 minutes. But what changes everything and what spoiled the grand final, and I've said it before in grand final, I think there's been three, I think that might be the fourth red card now in the grand final. It spoiled the game because, particularly in football, once a team goes down to 10 men, it's a question of hanging on. Can you grab something, you know, on the break or maybe a corner or a set piece? And, you know, from the point, you know, 35th minute, over an hour to go, about an hour to go in the game, particularly the way Melbourne City were playing, the game was effectively over. Sydney actually opened the scoring through Barbarossa's terrific goal, slightly against the run of play. But, you know, I do believe that this Sydney team with 11 players, you know, could have done something different. But it wasn't to be, and it was very uncharacteristic of Luke Bratton, one of their most experienced players, to get two yellow cards in quick succession. You know, in football, particularly when, well, not even if you're experienced, it doesn't matter who you are. Once you get a yellow card, you can't be diving into challenges after that. You've got to be more intelligent and, you know, stay on your feet. Luke Bratton with two, you know, really rash challenges to get that red card. No discussion on the red card. It was certainly the two yellow cards, but from that point on, it was all Melbourne City and they thoroughly deserved their victory. But for Sydney, it'll be, you know, what could have been. They'll never know because they went to 10 men and that was effectively game over.
Robbie, you said before the GF that if Melbourne City were going to have success against his Sydney team, they had to start fast. So to me, it sounds, and again, I only watched a little bit of the game and saw some highlights again this morning. It seems to me that their game plan was spot on.
100%. They came out of the blocks and they strangled Sydney in that first 15 to 20 minutes. And the only surprise was that it was Sydney that took the lead, but it didn't last long. It lasted 3 minutes. I mean, Melbourne City could have been two up before Sydney took the lead.
Yeah.
But they did exactly what they had to do. I thought, like you said, Clarkie, I said that if they're going to beat Sydney, they've got to come out fast. They've got to smother them. And that's exactly what they did. They did that the whole game, to be fair to them. It was easier, of course, when Sydney was 10 men. But Sydney to have had any chance in this game, because Sydney were on top when Bratton got sent off, they certainly needed 11 men. Because even with 11 men, Melbourne City, the way they were going in that game, were going to be difficult to stop. Against 10 men, they were unstoppable. And to be fair, the score in the end probably flattered Sydney because it was 2-1. Sydney managed to hang in there the second half, but the third goal from Galloway, a terrific goal for him on a personal level, was scored, you know, with a couple of minutes to go. But the domination was complete from Melbourne City and thoroughly deserved.
Hey, Rob, can I just go back with the send-off rule? Because we have this debate in league and all the other sports that have that ability to the referee to have or the official to have the ability to send someone from the field, and we've argued about it for years, and no doubt soccer has. Well, would you like to see something changed, or what would you like to see the rule be?
Great question, Loz. I would. I've always said it. I've always been of the thought, and I think in a big game like this where, it's your season's showpiece. This is the culmination of the whole season. It's what everyone is waiting for, the grand final. And I kind of like, and I know you guys have gone a little bit the other way, but I think for a long time, Laurie, rugby league, you go and report. But I know that with this head stuff and the high tackles, there's been a push now for direct send-offs, hasn't there? It's obvious, it's a shocker, you get sent from the field. Look, in football, I maybe have no problem with that, but when it's, when it's two yellow cards, when it's, I just think in football, and I guess in rugby league, it's the same. It just spoils the game. It just makes it so one-sided. The other team's going to have all the ball, and you're just waiting. It's a matter of time. And look, the 10 men can win games. There's certainly games in history that, the 10 men have managed to win the game. But it's more by luck than great play, I would imagine, in most cases. So I'm certainly, and I've always been a fan of, in football, putting players on report. I've actually used rugby league as an example. I think, you put them on report and you deal with it after it. And if they need to be suspended, then go and suspend them without spoiling a game, particularly a massive game like the grand final.
Take us behind the scenes, Robbie. I'm sure there was a lot of emotional people at Fox Sports as the curtain was drawn on the era of broadcasting the A-League and football on Fox. A lot of great people involved, and it's a shame you couldn't all be together.
No, that's right. And, a lot of clapping when we went off air from the people behind the camera who, I mean, Bozza, and pretty much everyone thanked that the, and you guys know this, that there's, it's not just about the people in front of the camera. There's so many people have worked so hard behind the cameras and on OBs, which you've both been to, the roadies, all the setting up, and there's a lot to producing a football match, particularly on the road. It's been some wonderful people, lifelong friends. A couple of lifelong enemies as well. What's great about lifelong enemies is they can stay in a job as long as you are. Great. Look, what I will say, and I said it last night as we were going off, Fox Sports has copped a bit of a bagging, bit of Fox Sports punching bag for the last couple of seasons. And that's in respect to our coverage and the way COVID struck was very difficult, not only for everybody, but for Fox as well. They were no different. But you can be guaranteed that the company I worked for now, although I'm sure I'll still be doing things for them, put so much into the game of football, and the A-League would never have existed without it. I always remember Frank Lowy, back in 2005 at the press conference and the announcement of the A-League, that he referred to Fox Sports as having a leap of faith for the game. And it certainly did. And there was some unbelievable highs and there were challenges along the way. But football is in a much better place because of Fox. And Fox, the great thing, and I said this last night, is that there's no animosity. It's just moved to a different place now. Football, it's still there. It's just going somewhere else. And it's an exciting beginning for the game. And, it's run its race with Fox. And Fox wishes it well. There's no animosity. There's no bad ending. And but Fox has certainly played a massive part to where football is today.
That they have, Robbie. And just before you go, your thoughts on what you saw from the Euros over the weekend.
Wow.
And, an upset last night with the Dutch being beaten by the Czech Republic and Belgium in the big big match in the round of 16 against Portugal 1-0, and we're just salivating waiting for England-Germany.
Yes, and can't wait for France-Switzerland tomorrow morning. But, yeah, it was that's a big shock. Czech Republic and the Schick, who's now got four goals, I think, got the second one around the 80th minute. But it was the red card to the Dutch player, De Ligt, that turned the game. That happened in the 55th minute, and it turned the advantage to the Czech Republic. And, you know, it goes to Laurie's question there again. You know, the Dutch were in control of that game until a red card turns it on its head and the Czech Republic win. But they're through, and congratulations to them. And the Dutch go out disappointingly. The other game, as you mentioned, was the big game. And, a lot of people probably in Belgium and Portugal call it bigger than England and Germany, but certainly was one of the two big games in this round of 16. And Belgium, with the 1-0 victory, a deserved victory over Portugal. Belgium had the better of the game, and it was Hazard that played, but not the Hazard most people would know of, and that's Eden Hazard, who plays for Real Madrid and formerly of Chelsea. It was another Hazard called Torgan Hazard, who plays for Borussia Dortmund with a wonderful strike to win that game. But they will play now in the quarterfinals. It's already decided, that side of the draw. It'll be Belgium v Italy. So that is some game. And the Czech Republic will play, just escapes me. But that's probably, you know, the side of the draw, which was somewhat easier. And let me just check.
Yeah, I'm looking for it too, Robbie.
You got it, Gerard? I'm about to have it.
I don't quite have it in front of me. Hang on.
There you go. Denmark.
Denmark. Yes, they play Denmark. Yeah, correct.
They were massive winners over Wales. The tipping wasn't great on that one. I thought Wales might go through, but it was 4-0 smashing of Wales, although two late goals probably made the score a little bit more generous than it probably deserved to be. Wales weren't that bad, but in the end, resounding for Denmark, who, of course, have lost to the tournament. Christian Eriksen, their superstar player. Now, yeah, thankfully we haven't lost him for good. We know of the incident that where he collapsed on the field, and of course playing no part in a football way, but I think what he's done is this Denmark team's playing for him, and they keep saying it, and they're doing a good job, and that you'd have to put Denmark as favourites in that quarterfinal. So whatever we say, guys, there'll be a surprise in the semi-final, because Denmark, neither Denmark or the Czech Republic were expected to go to the semi-final. So there's already going to be one surprise there. But as you said, the focus now is not tomorrow morning. Well, of course, tomorrow morning for those other games, but England v Germany. Tuesday night, I call it, although officially Wednesday morning, 2 a.m., England v Germany. I'm sure Laurie and Clarkey, being in lockdown, will have nothing else to do but to get up and watch that.
It's going to be huge. Good on you, Robbie.
See you, troops. Bye.